What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? If you walked by the front door of the Duncan Gersh Parish Life Center this week, or as you are coming into Good Shepherd today, you may have noticed the banner hanging out in front with the words, "God loves you, no exceptions. The Episcopal Church welcomes you." You may remember those words from my sermon a couple of weeks ago, in which our rector alluded to also in a subsequent sermon, which I wrote about also in the Shepherd Staff e-news. I also, as some of you know, posted that graphic, "God Loves You, No Exceptions," with no comment, on my Facebook page, and I had 90 shares of that graphic. That means that that was reposted on somebody else's Facebook page 90 times. Which means that is even a stronger response to something. I mean, when I get five likes on something I post, I consider that remarkable. This was, this was in my little Facebook world, viral, as they say. Now, much of this indicates to me that "God loves you, no exceptions" resonates strongly with many folks. And I believe these words have strong Christian theological grounding and express, as much as you can express basically on a bumper sticker, the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And they are our proclamation. They are our proclamation. Good Shepherd's proclamation and invitation to this city and to the world. And I expect that banner with those words, "God loves you, no exceptions," to be flying over us for the indefinite future. We speak those words, "God loves you, no exceptions," into a world that is contentious about a lot of things, and is trying to sort out winners and losers on almost any matter you can think of. We speak words of God's reconciling and all-embracing love into a world that values, more often than not, I'm afraid, rivalry over community. This week, our colleague, Bob and John's colleague, Miriam, right here, I believe, in this church, faced TV cameras and spoke on the position the diocese has taken on some difficult and complex matters of human sexuality, especially as they relate to what will no doubt be a very contentious debate on the referendum to be voted on here in this state concerning the constitutional amendment on the definition of marriage. What I heard Miriam say was that above all, that we, at least in the Episcopal Church, and I hope that Good Shepherd, understands the Scriptures to witness to a God whose love is infinite and beyond our authority to restrict. Now, no matter where you come down on a particular issue, that stands above it all. God's love is infinite and beyond our authority to restrict. This is the message that we as Episcopalians can offer this hurting, contentious, divided world in the midst of all that seeks to divide us one from another. I think we can do this in a special way. It's not that other Christian traditions can't do the same thing, but I believe that we are called into this moment to a special witness to that. This is in part the response to the question, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" The demons pose this question as they are being expelled from a man in the synagogue where Jesus is teaching. But voices within many of us, we are honest with ourselves, cry out the same question. When Jesus' love calls us beyond our comfort zone, beyond what we're familiar with, puts our opinions to the test of love and causes all the swirl of clamor and distraction that we live with so much to be silent, as Jesus silences the demons and causes us to reflect upon our lives, reflect upon our choices, our impact on others, on the basis of the love which Jesus proclaims, a love which he teaches in such a way that it has authority and amazes and astounds people, perhaps amazing and astounding regular church-going people, as the people in that synagogue at Capernaum were amazed and astounded. They were good church folk too. If we are to make this love which we proclaim God has for you and me and all, love without exception, we need to make this a matter that goes beyond a bumper sticker or a banner. We must try to understand what this thing which we call love really is, and then make it authentic for ourselves and others, as Jesus does in the Capernaum synagogue. Roman Catholic priest John Kavanaugh had this reflection on love, especially as it relates to today's gospel. Father Kavanaugh writes, "Love isn't easy, except in our daydreams. We do not even need to look for the superficiality of the cheaper romantic novels or movies to see the truth of that. It suffices to go to church regularly. But we are human, and we cannot but feel certain things in each other's presence. Jealousy, irritation, hurt, paranoia, distrust, the sense of not being fully valued. And so beneath our rhetoric of love, we also feel tension, distance, and even hostility sometimes. We sing brave songs that proclaim how open our hearts are and how we welcome everyone into this faith. But invariably, there are parts of us that don't quite mean those words, at least as they apply to some people. It's true for all congregations, of every gathering, except those where everyone is already fully a saint." That's not the church, by the way. That may be the church triumphant, as they say, but that church is not fully the church on earth yet. We are composed of people who are somewhere in between saint and sinner and have probably foot firmly grounded in both. In my case, much more in sinner than saint. But he says, love this side of eternity is not easy, at least not if we try to actually embrace everyone and not just our own kind. Have you experienced what Father Kavanaugh is talking about? Have you found just how difficult it is truly to love? When we move beyond the pious and sentimental talk and actually have to confront another human being, someone who we may be in conflict with, someone we may feel has hurt or disappointed us, someone who is a rival for something or some relationship or someone that is the object of our own affections, someone who may disagree with us on some issue that is near and dear to our hearts. Father Kavanaugh continues, "The older we get, the more we sense that what love actually demands. It isn't easy to say the words, 'I love you,' and to actually back that up. What does it mean to love someone? I'm pretty cautious now about what kind of words I put around that. Maybe I would use just two words, fidelity and respect. Love means keeping your word, staying with a relationship and not walking away. Love means fully respecting someone else, not violating anyone's freedom, and positively blessing and helping others to grow according to their own internal dictates, not our expectations. I'm adding this, not our expectations of them. Not what we expect them to be, not what we need them to be for ourselves and for our emotional needs, but to their own internal dictates, who they are, who God intends them to be, not who we need them to be. That goes for anybody. Father Kavanaugh continues, what we actually feel when we do those things is sometimes less than warm, but love, as we know, is not a question of feeling, but of fidelity. And partly that is gift, something from beyond us, from a God who can do for us what we cannot do for ourselves, namely remain together inside of a family and community. In the end, that is what church and Eucharist are meant to do. By the way, that's also what baptism is meant to do. Our Eucharistic and baptismal life together is a sign and symbol and promise of that extraordinary, life-giving, amazing, astounding, boundary-less, boundary-busting, no exceptions love which we have in Jesus of Nazareth. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? One commentator puts it better than I. In this gospel, Jesus, as with many other healings, gives the person back himself. Gives that person back himself with the dignity of being known by God. The authority with which Jesus speaks and which the crowds find new and amazing is the creative love of God who wishes to know our dignity and not be dominated by the unclean spirit of self-rejection. It is when I know who I really am that the words of Jesus, the new prophet, not to be afraid or worried, become real and freeing. In our gospel lesson today, we've heard of an exorcism in a synagogue in Capernaum in Jesus' time. Some of you may not know that every time we do a baptismal liturgy, there's actually a small exorcism in it. It is a remnant in our own liturgy of some of the most ancient baptismal liturgies. And it's that part where we say, do you renounce Satan and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God? You renounce the evil powers of this world, which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God. You renounce all sinful desires that draw you from the love of God. That simple little statement often said on behalf of one too young to say that themselves, it's an exorcism in the way of a liberation so that we can be free from all that turns us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. It is clearing the way so that we can be truly free. And this sacrament of baptism is the beginning of the journey for all baptized Christians to begin that journey in Jesus Christ where we discover our truest identity and where that identity is affirmed in the community of the Beloved.